Many may not know it, but Marilyn was well positioned to take the banjo to national notoriety. The Maryland Humanities Council grant-supported exhibition at the Baltimore Museum of Industry, Making Music, the Banjo in Baltimore and Beyond, traces the city's role in the evolution of the instrument from its introduction before the Civil War to its place in American culture today. Roland Woodward, the executive director of the Baltimore Museum of Industry, tells us more about Baltimore's role in the history of the American banjo.
For nearly 300 years, the banjo has been part of American music, and like many other quintessential American icons, it came from humble beginnings. In 1781, Thomas Jefferson remarked in regard to African Americans that, quote, "the instrument proper to them is the banjar, which they brought hither from Africa," unquote. When Jefferson commented on the banjo's African heritage, he most likely meant an instrument like the banza, made from a gourd body with animal hide as the sound table, a neck with a flat fingerboard, three long strings attached to the peg head, and a short thumb string on the side of the neck. The banjo was an early incarnation of the banjo, an instrument that was born during slavery and has through time been burdened with stereotypes. African Americans in the 19th century, rural white Southerners in the 20th. The Chesapeake region of Maryland had the highest concentration of banjos in North America between the 1730s and 1830s. During this period, the banjo was exclusively played by African Americans. In the 1840s, race became the foundation for a major form of popular entertainment known as the minstrel show, featuring white performers in blackface who mocked African American language, dance, and song. Countless pieces of sheet music, show posters, and other items were published in Baltimore as part of the national craze for minstrel shows. As more performers added the banjo to their shows, its popularity grew and the commercial demand for the banjo was born. Baltimore became the epicenter of banjo popularity. It set the tone as the site of the banjo's earliest mass production. William E. Boucher, an immigrant from present-day Germany, capitalized on the demand for banjos and in the 1840s began a successful business on East Baltimore Street manufacturing instruments. Mr. Boucher and the city of Baltimore helped to transform the banjo into an icon of one of America's first popular music crazes, leading to its enduring presence in our musical culture. Today, Maryland continues to be a hub of banjo talent, from two-time Grammy winner Kathy Fink to Buddy Wachter, who is widely acknowledged as the virtuoso banjoist performing today. Stephen Wade is a local author, historian, and musician whose performance of banjo dancing had a record-setting 10-year run at the Arena Theater in Washington, D.C. The Baltimore Museum of Industry's latest exhibit, Making Music, the Banjo in Baltimore and Beyond, opened yesterday and explores the relationship of the instrument's role in local business, culture, race, and why Baltimore was at the epicenter of one of America's first popular music phenomenons. We invite you to experience the exhibit and its public programs now through October 18th.
To learn more about the Baltimore Museum of Industry's exhibition, its programs and events, visit thebmi.org or visit our website, mdhc.org. Thanks to musicians Greg Adams and Lucas Bowman for recording our theme music today. The Maryland Humanities Council is a statewide educational nonprofit that uses the humanities, such as history and ethics, to promote civic engagement and informed dialogue about critical issues. I'm Phoebe Stein of the Maryland Humanities Council for WYPR, your NPR news station.